Belmont is up at Dayton, Ohio tonight in the first round of the NCAA tournament against Temple. A lot of things to get to, and I thought we would. But first, I think we want to have Joe Rexrode, the sports columnist of the Tennessean, on. But I understand we have to go through his valet to get that. But first off, is Mr. Rexrode available, please?
Let me check to see if he's available. May I ask who's calling?
This is Greg Pogue. I do a sports talk show in Nashville for a little while.
I have not heard of that show, but let me check. Hello?
Is this Joe Rexrode?
Yeah, see, you didn't realize that part of my duties at the Tennessean include chauffeuring Mike Organ around, but I'm not used to chauffeuring him all the way to Dayton.
Was that Mike Organ that answered? So, well, I tell you what, I understand he did a lot of things over there. Now I know even more how valuable he is getting you around.
Exactly.
So what's wrong with your phone?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I smashed the screen, so maybe that's related to that. But
you think?
I got it fixed. Yeah, well, I got it fixed, but I cannot hear other than on speaker. If I put on speaker, I can hear the other person. If I don't have it on speaker, I can't hear the other person. And it's already gravelly enough to hear my voice on your show. You don't want it on speakerphone, so.
Well, just so long as you can text, right, and get all your messages, that's cool and everything. We'll talk to Mike in a minute as well. Well, this will be we'll do a double dipper. I don't want to put it on speakerphone and do both of you at the same time. I think that's against the law in 8 states. But anyway, on the way to Dayton, good for Belmont. And I really have thought about this. You know, Belmont's been 7 times. They need to have that breakthrough victory. We know that it almost came in 08 with Duke and everything. But this attention that Belmont received by not winning. Murray State's won the tournament, and they hadn't gotten anything. Belmont, on every discussion of first in and first out, every graphic, on every network, they were there. They were a focal point of discussion. And then once they get in, what validation? I think this is the most validation that program has had.
Well, no, it's a great point. You're right. It became very much, you know, of course, around here locally, anybody who's watched this team knows it's worthy of being in this field, and a lot of talk around here from us about, hey, you know, this team should still get a bid. But I was a little bit surprised. I mean, nationally, so many different people were saying that. You're right. They're right in that line. Some bracketologists had them in. Some had them out. Lenardi had them out. Jerry Palm had them out. Shelby Mass from USA Today actually had them in. He was right. But when you're right there on the line, along with, you know, the Indianas and Alabamas of the world, you do get a ton of discussion. I mean, there's a ton of mileage out of this. And I think you're right, Greg. Validation for sure. And I think that's probably why, you know, Rick Byrd got emotional, because, I mean, it really does say something when you get chosen. Obviously, you don't want to leave any doubt. You want to win your league tournament. But when you get chosen for something like this, I mean, that's something that probably didn't happen a few years ago.
Yeah, and it just means that your program is thought of so much more than you just winning conferences and coming into the tournament and with a one and done. And I think that's the next step. And Belmont's got a great opportunity. I saw where they're a slight favorite tonight against Temple. They play Maryland. That's not a daunting task should they get to that point as well. It comes a point where a program has to take that next step. That's tonight with Belmont.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that's the thing. I mean, when you get chosen, there is more pressure on you. You know, go show it. Go prove it. And, you know, these first 4 games, I can't tell you that I have loved the 16 versus 16 games, but some of these 11 versus 11 games have been really good.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think this is a really interesting game. And, of course, you know, if Belmont wins tonight, Rand Dunphy, his career is over. If Temple wins tonight, you know, I think it's certainly worth asking the question of Rick Byrd after the game about his future. I mean, it could be either or on that. You know, you never know. But this is a great opportunity. And at least a good showing is needed, I think, to sort of validate the committee putting Belmont in. But a win would be obviously huge. I mean, you know, first NCAA win in school history. And like you said, then down to Jacksonville – Maryland is a team, you know, that's not some impossible mission. And on the other side, man, I don't know. I kind of feel like Yale might beat LSU. We have a Yale-Belmont for the Sweet 16.
Oh, Joe Rexroad on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad, Tennessee, and columnist for sports columnist for the Tennessean. Are you driving or is Mike driving?
I am driving. I'm and actually, I don't even know. Well, Andrew Nels, our photographer, is in here with us, too. I think he knows that I'm very anal when it comes to I like to drive. I'm a terrible passenger. Got in a couple accidents as a passenger, like in high school. And since then, like, I have to drive. So, you know, so these guys can kick back and relax.
Yeah, you're not kidding anybody. You want the mileage, okay? Come on, man. Hey, I may ask you, just you to ask Mike, the all OVC freshman, Nick Musinski, the center, and he's got great potential. 6'11", moves and everything. He injured his ankle in the semifinal and did not play against Murray State in the final. I saw when I was watching the footage of the celebration of the NCAA announcement that he was still in a walking boot. So if you don't know, ask Mike, is Musinski going to be available to play tonight?
Yeah, well, as far as I think we both think he's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Byrd said that last night. Now, how effective, you know, I don't know. That looks like a pretty nasty, you know, twist in the OVC semifinal. You know, I think for people who don't know this team well, I mean, you watch that game, and John Morant was amazing. But when you take out that guy to protect the rim, not to mention 15 points a game on the other end, man, that totally changes your team. And I really think they need – you know, at least a pretty good version of Nick Musinski tonight to win this game. He just makes such a difference. You know, back in Ohio, I've been wondering, watching him all year, how the heck did he get out of Ohio? Like, I mean, I don't know how some people missed on Nick Musinski, but he's going to be a really, really good player for this program moving forward, and I think a key tonight.
Doesn't he look like a Big Ten player, just looking at him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, you're right. I mean, Joe Rexroad with us on the way up to Belmont. They win, are you off to Maryland? Are you going to? Where's Tennessee play? I got my schedules in front of me. Where are you headed next?
I'm going to Columbus.
Okay.
No matter what happens, I'm going to Columbus tomorrow and being with the Vols. And these guys, if Belmont wins, they're looking for flights to Jacksonville tonight. So, you know, that's why they call it March Madness.
Well, you can, from Dayton to Columbus, you can just hitchhike over there. I mean, no, but you're driving, that's right. Yeah, but you needed to drive because if everything, you know, goes well, those guys are going to have to get home one way or the other, right? You're off to Columbus. You're just going to leave them stuck in Dayton?
Well, they can Uber home.
That's all right. Gannett's got plenty of money, and they don't mind spending it. You know that.
Exactly. Yeah. No. They'll have to rent a car. So yeah, it's either they're looking for a rental car to get home, or they're looking for a flight to get to Florida.
Let's hope it's the latter. How about that? Joe Rexroad with us. I'm gonna change gears. One thing I like doing, with you, you can talk everything. Predators Leafs tonight, 7:00. Yesterday, Austin Watson, he was released from the Stage 2 NHLPA substance abuse and behavioral health, and he had the first suspension, 18 games. He could practice with the team and got paid the last 21 games. None of that. No pay and everything. And he had to be released from the program by outside, obviously, people who were administrating the program. So what do you think? 18 games, I mean, 11 games to go, and certainly his presence can be helped with this team. A lot of people think that he should not because of all the stuff that happened. I don't know. I've got mixed emotions, but I'm sort of turning the way of being a forgiving soul and say, he's paid his time. He's done his dues. Let's put him back out there.
Well, I mean, as far as on the latter point, I mean, to me, I think, you know, I think that the time to move on was earlier. I mean, I think they already made the decision to, I guess, forgive on you know, the domestic assault situation, and then of course you had this, and I assumed he was done playing with the Predators. But as far as, you know, someone with substance abuse problems and things like that, I would never criticize a team for sticking with someone for that. Now, I think it's obviously a risk, and I'm surprised that he might be playing here soon for this team. But I think the, you know, if you're getting past the initial situation, I think in this situation, you know, at this point, supporting him is what you should do. And we'll see if, you know, if he has turned a corner, if he has gotten past this, and if he can make an impact. I mean, look, he's an important player. He was an important player. It's interesting because I don't know that they would have made some of the moves they made if they thought they would have him. That's just a guess. But, hey, all of a sudden you throw him in there and this team looks so much different than it did a few weeks ago in terms of physicality. I mean, he's a hugely important penalty killer and really an all-around really good player. So it's a surprise. But as far as him, you know, getting back into the locker room and all that, I mean, that'll be seamless. I mean, he's very close with I mean, a lot of his teammates, and I think they'll embrace him. And so just it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds.
Well, sometimes the support of the team mechanism is huge. So, but anyway, Kyle Turris, a healthy scratch the last two games. He's got the fifth largest contract in Predators history. Start with this year, the next $5-6 million a year, $36 million total. They're not getting their money's back on him right now. That's for sure.
No, and it's surprising. You know, it's like with Kevin Fiala. Peter Laviolette would do a lot of lineup moving with him, and you could see why at times, because he was just kind of all over the map, and at times I just didn't feel like he was spilling it out there. You know, with Turris, he's just been ineffective. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And he's been hurt this year, and hurt enough to be out for, you know, a long stretch, but the ineffectiveness that kind of, well, especially showed up in the playoffs last year, and it's kind of carried on through this year is very surprising when you think about how well he was playing, you know, for the first few months after they traded for him last year. I still think that if this team is going to make the run it thinks it can make, that Kyle Turris has got to be part of that. I mean, I really think that he has got to, and I don't know if this is wake-up call. I don't think Kyle Turris is the type of guy who's, you know, not giving effort or not caring. He just hasn't been effective. I've got to think that he'll return to the lineup soon, and maybe they think this will kind of jolt him a little bit.
Joe Rexroad on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad, Tennessean sports columnist. We always going around the map with you. I know the SEC tournament, Tennessee goes in off that loss. And, you know, I could have swore in the corner of my eye after they beat Kentucky Saturday that one of the UT managers had a ladder and they were going to go out and cut down the net Saturday. But I think if you're I was disappointed in that. I can understand the emotional outlay that team put out for Saturday in that game. However, if this is one of the greatest teams or the greatest team in UT basketball history, certainly now it just does not have a championship to show for it. There's only one other that can get anything less than an Elite Eight. I think this season would be a disappointment.
Yeah, well, and even an Elite Eight would be this fantastic team that just missed three times. You know, because I mean, to me, the Final Four is that would be the first time in school history, and frankly, the you know making a Final Four and putting that banner up. You could probably add up all those SEC
teams,
and they don't amount to that. You know, because so to me, even an Elite Eight would be a disappointment. You know, I mean, honestly, and I think this team's good enough to go past that, and I think this team got a pretty good draw. You know, I mean, I think Cincinnati is an awfully good seventh seed, and I think that's who Tennessee will see in the second round. I don't think much of Iowa. They can't guard anybody. Cincinnati can, and Cincinnati has some really good players, and they'll be close to home. So, you know, that would be a hard-earned trip to the Sweet 16. But, you know, I just think you look at Purdue, you look at Villanova. I mean, I think Tennessee should be there against Virginia, if it is Virginia. And, of course, everybody loves picking against Virginia at this time of year. And, hey, it's hard to argue with that. I think if that's the matchup, it would be a grinder of a defensive slow game like Tony Bennett likes, but I really would like Tennessee in that matchup.
Well, drive safe. Let me give the phone back to Mike. It's in his phone. Let me talk to him a little bit. Thanks, Joe. Right, appreciate you, man.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Hold on.
All right.
Yes, can I help you?
Yeah, don't act like you don't know where this radio station is, because every time I'm not here, you are, okay?
Is this the one with the former NFL players on it that it talks about college football all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, Joe Dubin.
Oh, yeah, Joe Dubin.
What's going on, Michael?
Not much, Gregory. Wish you could go, but we're going with us.
Yeah, you know, they're just I've been you're still the one, you know, getting it out there, getting it done. It is interesting. People don't realize that Joe had to drive because he's going to drive over to Columbus to do the UT game. So you've either got to rent a car to get back or fly to Jacksonville, regardless, depending upon the results tonight. Yeah. So, and you'll be going by yourself, because I'd imagine the photographer is going to Columbus, right?
No, he's going with me.
Oh, that's right, because the Knoxville News Sentinel will have the photographer there for the Gannett, Tennessee people.
You are a newspaper man. You know the newspaper game.
I know how there's like 8 people working for 14 papers, and so it's not hard to figure out.
That's exactly right. So Joe will pick up the photographer in Columbus, and then I don't know where they go from there. Yeah, we'll either be hitchhiking back to Nashville tomorrow, Andrew and I will, or we'll fly to Jacksonville. And, you know, who was it? Seth Davis already picked Belmont to beat Maryland.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I was talking to Joe, and I know you heard it. This is that next step for this program, and at large was a more of a validation for this program than anything that ever happened, because you can win your tournament and you're in, yeah. But to be an at large, that's a validation above that. Now they need to win a game.
Yeah, you're right. It is validation. Now Rick Byrd did say that they had been told that. Twice before, when they had 30 wins and they won the Atlantic Sun, that they were he was told that they would have been at large that year. But there's no proof of that. So, you know, this is the only hard evidence that we have that is the case. So now, and you know, the last time they were in 2015, there was a lot of the same buzz about it's time to do something. It's time to win a game. It's time to take it to the next level. And Rick doesn't shy away from that. And they did play Virginia pretty well the last time in the first round, cut a 14-point deficit to 2 in the second half, and then lost that game. But so it was a better showing than some of their other games, other than the Duke game that they lost by 1. But Rick thinks this team is better equipped to win a first-round game, and I totally agree with him. I don't believe there's any question that this is the best Belmont team that there's ever been. When you talk about the inside presence like Mazinski, who I heard Joe talking about, and then they still have the three-pointer, and then you throw in Dylan Windler, who's one of the best players they've ever had, a true NBA prospect, then this team is better equipped to win a first-round game and maybe beyond than any team they've ever had.
All right, let everybody know. So we're in Joe's car with your phone interviewing Joe driving while you're the passenger. Is that correct?
It's even beyond that. It's not Joe's car. It's a rental car.
Oh, okay.
So it's Joe's rental car. Joe's driving. I'm in the passenger side. Andrew's in the back using my phone because it's the only one that works.
So that... Well, tell Joe he needs to go out and buy other than that Gannett issued phone he's got, okay? Hey, thank you. Hey, thanks, Joe. See you, Mike. Take care, buds.
All right.